This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Okay, a couple quick texts. People have the advice that Dan Campbell would give. One for the wife, one for the husband. When you get up to time to do the vows.
Yeah.
Time to pour your soul
out. Don't give the opportunity.
All right, we got baseball on today, by the way. Baseball's back out in Tokyo. Game one of the MLB season, Dodgers and Cubs. Kind of weird to have baseball on at 6 in the morning.
Yeah, but it's kind of cool to be able to have it on, see what's going on. Nothing too exciting from Shohei yet.
I'm happy it's not the Tigers.
Why?
You wish it was the Tigers.
Yeah. I mean, I wish they were good enough to be chosen by Major League Baseball to start the season off. Well, I mean, how much excitement did you have?
I want to start the season here we go, the traditional argument. Right, surprised yeah, I'm roll, the one making it. But I like starting the season in a proper window to start the season.
A proper window.
Yeah, like you gear up for a day game, right? Or you get the evening.
How about all eyes focused on one of two teams? So you wake up and it is, okay, yeah, maybe you're not going to get the eyeballs, but you're going to get the recognition of being the team, one of the two teams to start off Major League Baseball season, one of 162, and you were special enough to be chosen.
Look, I know Jamie Samuelson would love it if the sure. Tigers, because then
short show,
finally a short show in the morning. It'd be weird to have Dan Dickerson be the voice calling the play-by-play at 6, 7, 8 in the morning. It's unique.
Cool.
It's unique. It's cool, but I want to start the season in a more traditional way. Baseball's all about traditions.
Yeah, no, selfish anyway. For you.
Okay. Now, selfish for me would be play the game right now, and we could kick our feet up and watch the game and listen to Dan do his thing. Speaking of the Tigers, We went through pitching chaos last year. How do you feel about lineup chaos? Concerns that this season could go south given just what we're looking at right now. It's Parker Meadows, it's Matt Vierling, it's the unanswered question at third base. John, I was sitting here mapping it out. They've got four different players displaced on defense. That's half of the defense. I don't know if they've got enough bats. I don't know if they're going to play enough defense behind this pitching staff. I do have a concern that we could be living last year where we're wasting a pitching staff for much of the season.
Well, I think that's a major concern, but I also am curious. Maybe the pitching chaos overshadowed the lineup chaos. And now this year we're not even talking about the offensive side. We're just talking about defense. Who's going to play third? Who's going to play right field? Who's going to play center? It's going to be Riley Green. How much do you not want him to play center? Simply because you don't want him to increase his risk of injury. Wenciel Perez is going to be there. It's going to be a number of different individuals. But last year, it was lineup chaos pretty much throughout the course of the season because you have guys like Kerry Carpenter, who's going to probably be DH against all right-handed pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's not going to be DH against the left-handed hitter or pitcher. That maybe that is Spencer Torkelson. And so you, when you you have to constantly mix and match left-handed hitters with this pitcher, right-handed hitters with this pitcher. And then throughout the course of the game, you've got a pinch hitter, you've got a pinch runner, and then you're trying to figure out, well, maybe we can't pinch hit this individual because then we have no one else to play third base. It just adds another wrinkle, and it's completely insane.
You could default to the position of, I trust A.J. Hinch. And I'd understand it. A.J.'s a hell of a manager. They made it work last year with the pitching staff and, to an extent, manufactured what they could offensively, right? They sent the runners. They were aggressive on the base paths. They used every platoon leverage opportunity they could with pinch hitters and pinch runners. But it feels even more extreme right now. Torque is displaced. Keith is displaced. Green is displaced. Baez is displaced. Are any of them going to be upgrades? Like, they like Riley Green in left field. If they have to play him more at center, that's not ideal. Torkelson is playing the outfield for the first time since 2018. Is that ideal? Colt Keith's learning a brand new position where if you boot a ball over at first, that's an out that turns into a base runner and extends an inning. Javi Baez is already committing errors at third base. He hasn't played the position regularly, again, since 2018. Are any of these upgrades? I didn't even mention how they're going to do in the batter's box. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's already the obvious question about Baez and Torque. And are we getting any better defensively while still having the same questions in the batter's box?
I think there's a chance that Baez could be an upgrade over McKinstry or Ibanez or down the list Colt Keith at third base.
Defensively, you're saying?
Defensively, yes. Oh, yes. We're talking defense here. Offensively, huh. Not the guy you want to bet on to be an upgrade anywhere at the plate. Maybe over Jace Young.
Well, right. And it's two things. It's the third base thing, which is a thing, and it's the injuries in the outfield. It's Parker Meadows and it's Matt Vierling. And Scott Harris is not responsible for the injuries in his outfield, but there is a fair question about the organization's
issues.
He's
responsible for depth.
Depth and really the starting third base spot. So Jace Young gets sent down. He was not ready. No one's saying throw him into the fire. If he didn't perform in spring training, he should start in AAA. But Jace Young is a college bat who this summer will be 3 years removed from college. It's kind of got to be soon here for Jace. And if he doesn't stick at third, it would be a long list of other guys they've tried at third. Torque was drafted as a third baseman. Colt Keith played 1,000 innings of third base in the minors. Jahan has actually played more games at third than any other position, but they've bumped him over as kind of a DH outfield first baseman. McGonigal, who was drafted as a shortstop second baseman, he's playing third. Haiyu Lee was traded for as a second baseman. Now he's playing third. They're kind of haphazardly trying to find a third baseman. They tried for Bregman. It didn't work out, but they had no fallback. The plan was, I guess, Vierling, who again has hardly played third base in his career. They had no plan at third base. Backup plan, I should say.
Right, yeah, because the plan was, you know, now is now playing in Boston. And that to me is the big concern. Now, we all applauded the fact that they made a legitimate offer, maybe the best offer, to get a third baseman, and it didn't work out. What's the backup plan? And when Jace Young, if that's your backup plan, and he is not developing at the rate that you need him to develop, now the answer needs to be, you've got to go get yourself a third baseman. You've got to go get yourself a guy that can man that position and has a decent bat at the plate. How do you do that? Free agency is over. You're not developing them right now, so you've got to go and trade for one.
Yeah, the current crop would have Andy Ibanez. First game of the season against the lefty, he hits lefties, but by their decision making, they don't like him against righties. So righties will be the majority of the time.
Mm-hmm.
McKinstry is a bad bat. He is. And Baez is terrible against righties because they can just throw the slider in the other batter's box and he can't help himself. It's like me with pizza at the wedding. I mean, you just, those are the options.
Yes.
248-539-9797. And to bring it all together, it was Tom who said pre-show, he goes, I am concerned that this goes south this year, that all the excitement of last year and being in the playoffs and being a win away from the ALCS, it's all wasted.
I just don't think you can survive doing this for more than probably 30 to 45 days. Like, they can fight their way through the beginning of the season, piecing this lineup together. But defensively, I don't know how you can survive losing two of your starting outfielders, basically, especially a center fielder who is outstanding at the position. And so the middle of the defense, you're going, don't worry about catcher defensively, really, but middle of your defense is second and short, and then the center fielder. And in that, in Comerica Park especially, I mean, bottom line is, I thought Parker Meadows was probably the number one reason why they flipped last year. Like, I'm not taking away from Tarek Skubal and Riley Green, but the reason it changed in terms of winning and the way they won, the rate they won at, was Meadows. They went 54-28 with him in the lineup. That's way too big. That's half a season in baseball.
Yeah. I think if you talked to us at the end of last season, we would have said, boy, I could be convinced the 2025 is going to be a fun year because I'm getting a full year of Parker Meadows, right? I'm getting a third baseman or someone on the left side of the infield. I'm not going to see Javi Baez, right? All the things we would have talked ourselves into, and none of them are happening right now. You could have said, hey, maybe Jace Young will solidify, and it hasn't happened yet. All the things you would have pointed to didn't happen.
So let me ask you this, Tom. Surviving the first 30 or 45 days, what does that even mean? Because we all know you're opening up with the Dodgers. You've got Seattle. You got six games on the road to start the season. Then you come home for three against Chicago. Okay, those should be winnable games.
Yep.
Then you've got the Yankees. You got the Twins on the road. You've got the Brewers on the road. And then you've got four at home against Kansas City. And, oh, by the way, then here comes San Diego.
And Baltimore and Houston.
Right. So what is surviving the first 30 days look like?
I think it's within a couple games of 500. You know, you don't want to fall in a hole like last year where you're 10 games under 500 45 days into the season. The reason I'm using 30 to 45 is my anticipation is that Meadows will get this thing going. The nerve will activate, and then he's going to have to go to Toledo or wherever and get back up on timings, you know.
Ramped up.
Yeah. And so you're looking somewhere at the end of April to mid-May. That would be my guess on this. I'm no doctor.
That would be optimistic, right? That would be things wake up now, and then he gives himself a month to get his feet under him.
Yeah, I mean, the vibe I'm getting from the Tigers is that Meadows will be back. Everything they say, but I do think with Vierlane, once he starts throwing, I don't know how a rotator cuff gets better. You know,
And the moves, sometimes they tell you without telling you, right? Javi playing more third is a reflection of not having Vierling as an option at third. Having Tork play a little right field, how much of that is a reflection of not having Vierling for right field?
Jim, me and you, if we had a rotator cuff issue flare up, if we rested, the doctors, let's rest it, you know, and then let's look at it again. We could probably get away with not having a surgery. I don't know how a baseball player does. Right. I'm just using common sense here. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Hey, you're not a doctor.
But the loose to both of them, I think the impact. You're talking about two guys that would be hitting one and two some days in your lineup.
And
now the projected MLB.com lineup they just posted last night. Wenceslas Perez is your leadoff hitter opening day, and he's playing in center field.
Can you give us that full lineup?
He's a solid player. I like it.
Don't do it right now. We'll do it coming up next. We got some phone calls. Are you guys, is there kind of this dark cloud over what should be an exciting season of Tiger baseball? What's your mood as the injuries mount and Jace Young goes down? It's 97-1.
If you find yourself not wanting to be in the front of pictures or be in pictures at all, you're not alone. There's a lot of people that aren't comfortable with their picture being taken because they just don't feel good about themselves. They don't have a great body image right now. And maybe you just want to lose some weight. Ideal You is the company you got to get in touch with. You can do it at idealyou.us. You can find out all you need to know on the website, but you also got to give them a call. You could find yourself 40 pounds lighter in just 40 days with Ideal You. I know the program works, and I know it works fast because I lost 50 in those 40 days. And since I began the program, I'm down 70 pounds, which means 3 years in, I've been able to keep the weight off. Book today, and Ideal You is going to give you a free body composition analysis. That's $150 value, absolutely free. And when you make that booking, you get that body composition analysis. You're going to be able to set the goals. You're going to sit down with the weight loss coach. You're going to put a plan together. Book your free consultation right now at idealyou.us. Ideal You is different than other weight loss companies. It works. And it works fast. So you get instant feedback. Lose up to 40 pounds in 40 days and be happy to take those pictures again. Book your free consultation right now at idealyou.us to get your body composition analysis. $150 value, absolutely free.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Baseball's back and baseball's on the brain this morning. Cubs and Dodgers already playing as of 6 a.m. Got on in the studio talking about the Tigers. Pitching chaos last year feels like lineup chaos this year. And how do you feel about it? Phone calls and ticket texts. Texter says, I've never rooted harder for anybody than Torque this year. His spring excited me and I pray he goes off this year. Kyle in Livonia. John, doesn't it feel like he's kind of the linchpin of all this?
Yeah, I mean, it's you were always hopeful, right? Nobody's rooting against Torque. Everybody would love to see him find his rhythm, find what he had at the back half of the season 2 years ago, where he ended up hitting 30 home runs. That's the Torque that we want. But I don't know that anybody's necessarily counting on that.
No.
If he came back and hit 20 homers and hit 230, it would mask some of these other problems. I mean, the thing is, you're talking about him being, they need him to help now because of what's going on. Well, we had Evan Petzold on, who covers a team 3-4 weeks ago, and he was speculating Torque would be in the minors.
Because of all the tweaks to his swing, he was going to need ABs.
Yeah, maybe
the team requires him to be here.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm not trying to throw Evan under the bus. That was the situation at the time. Things changed. Torque has not cooled off, so he's changing the potential that he is on the roster.
But again, if he's here, Colt Keith is the first baseman. Like it or not, that's what they've decided. So Torque's going to play some outfield, something he hasn't played since 2018. I'm not telling you he can't do it, but they've displaced so many of these guys who we don't even know are offensive upgrades, right? Like we're hoping Torque is, but we don't know that's an offensive upgrade. Meanwhile, it's a defensive step backwards. And that's kind of the two-pronged part of this is we know they need to hit better, but you don't want to have guys who are making mistakes in your infield and your outfield because it's going to hurt this pitching staff. And a ticket texter points that out and says, bad defense will offset the advantage of good pitching, which is our only strength. Defense is what I'm most concerned about, signed Brian. Tom is correct. You don't have to be Nostradamus to see the Tigers aren't going to be very good this season. Makeshift lineups every day is embarrassing, signed JP.
Not sustainable in my mind. You pitching chaos wasn't the whole season last year. It was the last third of the season.
Yeah, it's about,
Everybody said you can't do this all the time. It stopped working in the playoffs because you started playing the same team more games. You know, it's not sustainable. Did you want this lineup quick?
Oh, yeah. Do you have the projected lineup for the Tigers to open
yesterday,
the season?
MLB.com posted this. So Perez in center to lead off, Torres second base, Green left field, Carpenter DH, Keith first base, Ibanez third base, Henry Molloy in right field, Baez at shortstop, Rogers catching.
So one thing that stood out to me is this is projected against a lefty, Blake Snell.
Yeah.
Carpenter in against a lefty.
Yeah. But they have, because they have to use Molloy in right field. See, the tinkering that goes around. But he should get a chance to hit the lefties. He absolutely should.
Yeah. Let's get to Matt in Oxford. You're on 97.1. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. So they're going to be abysmal defensively, but they're going to be pretty bad anyway, right? When they signed Torres, I love his bat, but he made them worse defensively because they had moved Keith to first. He's a bad second baseman. It went all on Bregman and missed. Their backup plan was Veerling. He's hurt. The backup to the backup was Young, who apparently can't hit right now. So I think to your point, though, to the point of can they survive 30 to 40 games, I think they're going to be better than last year because Keith's going to be better. Green's going to be better. Torres is legit. Carpenter's good. They had a lot of line drives, right? Those three guys or four guys are line drive machines. They're going to be a little light on power. That makes me nervous. But I think if I'm going to be a little positive, it's that the offense will be better than it was in the first quarter last year. And hopefully that's enough to help them survive what's going to be a bad defense, but enough to help the pitching stay afloat. Hopefully.
Yeah. End the call with hopefully. Yeah, we all want to see them at least hold serve the first 30 or so games. It's a tough schedule. Mm-hmm. The defense is probably going the wrong way. The offense... he paints a picture that there's enough offense to make up for it. I don't know that there is.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the unknown. It's the big, if the offense can generate enough runs, you can make up for some things defensively. But that's, I don't know that anybody can have the confidence going into the season the offense is going to be there.
Like, think about it. We just said, Carpenter should play a little more against lefties. That's kind of an unknown. You know, I mean, it's going to be same-handedness. He probably won't be as effective. So there's a fair concern.
And it's a little...
more Javi and more Torque. Those are two huge question marks. These aren't givens. You know, we went into the offseason looking for certainty to help this young baseball team, and we have more questions today than we did at the end of the year.
I mean, they could have one of the worst defenses in baseball. That's becoming more of a possibility. That's not a good thing. So, yeah, you got to score more runs. Well, if you don't have the guy you projected to be your leadoff hitter, you know, stealing a run here or there, let's say he gets a walk, steals a base, gets a fielder's choice to third and sack fly home. You're going to have somebody slower over there. You might not steal that run. Meadows did so many little things to steal runs, both defensively and offensively, second half of the year last year. That's why you got to have some power from somewhere. That's why Torque could play into this if he can hit 20 bombs. That's huge.
Week from Thursday, Tiger Baseball is back. Let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, last night's Knicks game was delayed for about 10 minutes after comedian Tracy Morgan, who was sitting courtside, started puking onto the court, right? So it was during the third quarter, started vomiting on the court, also had a really bad bloody nose, so it looked like, because he had to be wheeled out in a wheelchair. He had a white towel over his face. He moved it a couple times because, of course, there's video, and you could see that it was covered in blood. A witness there says that he could barely stand up after the incident. We don't know his.
I hope he's okay.
I know. I looked just now. There's still nothing out there on his condition. But Madison Square Garden rep does say, obviously, they hope Tracy feels better soon. Look forward to seeing him back courtside. So hopefully he is okay. I mean, it's scary to see. I'm kind of bummed that there's video of all of it. Like, I know if it was me, you never want to be on video feeling your lowest like that. And of course, everyone's pulling out their cell phone. But hopefully, he's going to be all right. A Michigan baseball player went viral over the weekend for his over-the-top celebration. Did you guys see this?
Oh, the cocaine?
The cocaine, yeah. So on Sunday during Michigan's 11-0 win over USC in Ann Arbor, what's this kid's name? Mitch Voit.
Yes.
Yes. He hit a 3-run triple, mm-hmm. slid into third, celebrated by pretending to snort the chalk on the third baseline like it was cocaine, right? Now, it went viral. Some people thought, oh, wow, that's sweet. Good for you. That's really creative. And other people thought, well, this is disrespectful. This is not appropriate. That's awful. You should be in a lot of trouble for this. So he has issued an apology since the video went viral. Obviously kind of expressed regret over his decision, said he made an immature decision and that he takes responsibility for what he did. And he is sorry to those who may have been, you know, negatively impacted by it. Mm-hmm. That was perfect. That was perfect. Yep. That was perfect.
Yes.
If you've been used to dialing only 7 digits for a phone number when making local calls within the Detroit area, get ready to include the 313 area code as part of that process. So a new 10-digit dialing requirement begins this year when a new 679 area code will be introduced. So the number combinations with the 313 area code are just running out. There's almost no more left. So phone providers can start assigning numbers with this new area code beginning November 7th. And of course, if you have a 313 number, you keep it. It's not going anywhere. So don't worry about losing that. But just some changes coming this year. So I don't know. I know people like the 313 area code.
Sure,
I think the biggest news is that there's going to be a new area code, not the fact that you're going to have to use an area code when you dial a number.
Because most people do anyway.
Yeah.
I always thought you had to. I mean, I'm not in this area. So is it only in the 313 area code that you never needed to use? Like if I called my husband without hitting his contact and probably. I dialed his number.
And you just left out the area code.
It wouldn't work. I tried last night because I was curious.
Did?
Yeah. Because I was like, this doesn't make any sense. So
was it just a dial tone or?
There was a message. Yeah. There was a message that it wouldn't go through.
Yeah.
But you just put someone's number in and then you never have to remember it anyway. You just hit their contact.
Once in a while, I guess. Maybe you do.
How many people's phone numbers do you know?
Several. I mean, I know Collins. I know some friends. I know my parents. I still know their old work phone number. I know my old house phone number.
Oh, so you know
number.
More than I think most people do.
Yes. I know mine.
I know Lisa's,
but I didn't memorize her until we had been probably married 3 years.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know Kelsey's until I started using the phone number at the Kroger.
Are you being serious?
Yeah, I only know it because of the grocery store checkout.
I mean, I guess it's because I've known Colin since we were 17 years old and our phone numbers have not changed.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what I mean?
So like, you had to learn it before.
I've known it forever. And the same with my friends, I guess, have been the same phone numbers as well forever. So they're just ingrained in my memory. Let's see what we got here. Oh, let's see. The Professional Women's Hockey League reached a new milestone in Detroit this weekend. So the league welcomed its 1 millionth fan on Sunday night at Little Caesars Arena. And the game between the New York Sirens and the Minnesota Frost also broke the record for most fans at a professional women's hockey game in the United States. So good for them. There were 14,288 fans in attendance.
And I think the crowd I saw was chanting, we want a team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Go for it. There's a demand.
Yep.
Is Scott Frost Minnesota's mascot?
Like the call.
Heather with the news. All right, coming up next, our March Madness draft. Heather can't win it again, can she?
No.
No.
Especially since she's picking last.
Doing everything we can. It's 97-1. March champion on the call. Pistons, convincing win last night. 9 o'clock hour, we're going to talk about Aaron Rodgers, what it would mean if he was in this division, the latest reporting. And what does it say if that move comes together? John, we've been talking a little baseball today, and I want to bring up this Dusty May conversation.
Okay.
We're just picking some of our teams for the tournament. Is the season already a success for Dusty May? Is he coaching with house money? Year one, Big Ten tournament champs. Almost a 20-win improvement. What do you think?
I believe he's the first first-year coach to win a Big Ten tournament.
Yes, that is correct.
So, I mean, yeah, he is playing with house money. I think he is. He's done a tremendous job of taking this Michigan team and utilizing the transfer portal. I don't know how much NIL has played a part of this, but I know moving forward, part of his new contract was the commitment to NIL dollars. That has nothing to do with I think, this year. But I think when you look at – this is a team that, as you mentioned it, it's deeply flawed. They've been able to withstand and overcome some of those flaws and get away with some wins, even if you're looking at the game against Maryland and the ability to go coast-to-coast and how they set up that play to get a win and send themselves to the finals of the Big Ten tournament. Like, I think there are just some moments where you could see that this team is well-coached. Now, again, the flaws. How can you coach out some of the turnovers? You know, that's going to be a question moving forward. Is this going to be a trait of Dusty May's teams moving forward, that they're just the turnover machines, and they need these moments at the end of the games where there is good coaching, there's good fundamentals, where you're able to, you know, outlast some teams? We won't know that until we get down the road. But to think that this is a team that hasn't been in the tournament for, what, 3 years? And now all of a sudden, they're a team that, yeah, you can argue whatever you want about the seeds, but they're a 5 seed. They won the Big Ten tournament in Dusty May's first year. Yeah, I think he's playing with house money at this point.
Season's a success if they get bounced in the opening game of the tournament.
I think an opening game of the tournament would be disappointing.
So, but I think he's got to win at least one.
Well, but I think you could still say that this season was a success. It'll be disappointing. But what was the goal coming into this season? What was the thought that this Michigan team would be coming into the season? I think most people thought that they would be a team that would be a tournament team, but not necessarily as high as a 5 seed, or arguably should have been a 4 or a 3.
I think it's a fascinating question, and we want Michigan fans to weigh in. I would say he's got to get to the Sweet 16. I think that's a fair standard for a successful year one for Dusty May. I think they get bounced in the opening weekend of the tournament, especially as a favorite in the first game.
So you think that if that's the case of a first-year coach,
but
then that would be the standard moving forward. You should be a Sweet 16 every single year.
Well, I think it's a nod to Michigan's basketball program, which has made Final Fours and national title appearances, that Michigan has a financial commitment, right? They extended Dusty May. And I think first-year head coaches aren't held to the standard they were 10 years ago. When you have the portal, when you bring in 2 7-footers and a power five guard in Donaldson, when you bring in instant successful veteran players, it's not enough to just get in, right? I would think at a place like Michigan, it's simply not good enough to just get in. I would say no, he's not playing with house money, but I'm curious if Michigan fans feel like he's done enough in year one. Big Ten tournament title, how much weight does that carry? Getting them back to the tournament, this is, they'd missed the 2 previous seasons. 248-539-9797. I would say the Sweet 16 would be a successful season. Maybe I'm setting the bar too high. Because you're saying that's already kind of, hey, this is a success and more is good, but this is a success.
I think it's been a successful year one for Dusty May, winning a Big Ten tournament. And I mean, the ultimate goal is winning a national title and what you do in the NCAA tournament. That's the ultimate judge of where you are as a coach. But I also think it's, they're not a lot. There are a few hangovers from the Juwan Howard era.
I mean, Juwan made 2 different Sweet 16s and 1 Elite 8, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, including his first tournament, Juwan went to the Elite 8 and was a Big Ten regular season champion.
Yes. But I think in year one, what they've been able to do, finishing second in the Big Ten, and during the regular season, and you know, there's a bunch of ties and all that stuff. But and then winning a Big Ten tournament, I think that's a successful year one. It's not what I want to the way that this season I want to end. I want more, but I think you could sit there and say it's a successful year one.
248-539-9797. Let's get to Mark in Ypsilanti. Mark, you want to weigh in first? You're on 97.1.
Yeah, hi guys. How you doing today? I love your show.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I'm putting out my brackets right now, and this is intriguing. What happens if Michigan makes the Sweet 16 and plays Auburn? Do we have enough talent to beat Auburn and possibly play Michigan State in the regional final? That would be epic, Michigan versus Michigan State in the regional final, like they did against Illinois back in 89. I mean, What do you guys think? Do you think we have enough talent to get there? To be Auburn?
I mean, do I think they have? Yes, but they'd have to play a near mistake-free game. And I just don't know that this team is built to play a mistake-free game.
So Danny Wolf beat Auburn last year in the tournament, did he not? When he was a member of Yale? And this is a more talented Michigan team than that Yale team. Can they? Yes, it's March. Anything can happen. Auburn's lost three of their last four. I think they're on shakier ground than you would suspect of the number one overall seed come tournament time. Can they? Yes. Having said that, I think John did a great job outlining the number of reasons why Michigan might not even get to that point. I mean, we could dream of a Michigan-Michigan State rivalry knockdown, drag-out showdown. Michigan is a favorite, but a slight favorite in their opening game to a team that will turn you over. And then Michigan will play, if they win that game, likely Texas A&M, who crashes the glass, which is another one of Michigan's weaknesses. And then you wonder, like, are these weaknesses at all a reflection of coaching? Right? If I told you a team had recurrent turnover issues all season long and they don't box out in their own end and they're one of the worst free throw shooting teams, you go, well, yeah, that's kind of a reflection on the coach, too. And I don't say that to suggest that Dusty May was a bad hire, but to say, like, the year is a success just getting in the tournament, I kind of feel like that's too low of a bar. It'd be one thing if they overcome those things through a Big Ten tournament title and then a Sweet 16 berth, and you go, okay, they kind of, this is as far as you expected this team to go. I mean, you're the five seed. I think Sweet 16 makes sense, right?
Well, sure, Sweet 16 makes sense. But again, I still think it's a deeply flawed team. If they end up getting there, then is it, why is it that they get there? Is it just better guard play and they're starting to get some shooting? Because they're still going to turn the ball over.
Yeah. It's probably someone like Donaldson or Burnett, who, when they went on a little bit of a run recently, Burnett was making big threes in the regular season. Greg, you're a Michigan hoops fan. I say season as it sits right now, 17-win improvement, second place in the regular season. They're Big Ten tournament champs. Right now, is it a successful season? Is he coaching with house money?
I think I would like to see a tournament win.
Okay.
But I think for the most part, I'm really going to side with John here and just realizing, man, we were talking about a dead, dying Michigan program this time a year ago, and to see him revitalize that into a 25-win team, Big Ten tournament championship team is, I don't know, man, there's not a lot left to be desired for this season for me.
Okay. Couple ticket texters. Guys, we won 8 games last year. This is absolutely a success. Dusty has given me hope. Success. Sign Whitmer on the ticket text. Texter says, I think most Michigan fans would be extremely happy if this is the end of the line. If you had offered it to them 8 months ago, my expectations would be that, yeah, maybe we could make the tournament, but we wouldn't be nearly this good. And it'd be nice to win a couple games, but the season is already a success. You're shifting the goalposts. No way at the start of the year, after single digits, would the judgment be the Sweet 16. Matt in Heartland.
So I guess that would have been the question, and I don't know. I don't remember us discussing the expectations for Dusty May.
I don't think we did.
I mean, because I don't think anybody was talking about college basketball back in November.
No, we're thick of the Lion season.
Or December.
Yeah.
And so what was, if you could remember, what was your expectation for Dusty May and this roster going into the season?
It's so tough because he did hit the portal aggressively. He brought in Vlad Goldin, who he had coached at FAU, right?
Mm-hmm.
He brought in Danny Wolf, who we had seen have a tournament moment and have kind of a bit of a profile. 2 7-footers. Those were turnkey guys. Trey Donaldson played on Auburn last year, a tournament team. It felt like the pieces were there for them to make a quick flip. Like, I didn't think, oh, they were an 8-win team, so the next step is getting to 500. Like, I thought they'd be better than that, right? I think the tournament was a reasonable expectation, and that's where they are.
Yeah.
And it's just, do you think that they should have accomplished any more than this, or do you think that's enough? 248-539-9797. Texter says, already a success. Juwan took over Beeline's program that was well-established. Dusty took over a program that Juwan turned into a bleep show. So what he inherited and what he's doing, success.
Yeah. I mean, I think when you talk about, you know, him going to what was an Elite Eight in his first year, like, you are doing that with some of the guys that were here and coached previously. Now, by the time you have you've turned over the classes, it's your roster, it's your team, it's your program. Now, I know there were some health issues for Juwan last year, and he was limited in what he could do, but it's still your program, still your guys. There were some things, obviously, that we addressed with, you know, coach to coach, major issues. How did that translate to the program? How did that translate to the players? It was not going well. And then all of a sudden, Dusty May comes in. He does revitalize the roster, completely remakes it, and then finishes second. And with 2 weeks left, had a chance to win the regular season Big Ten title.
It seems like it's the consensus is, yes, Michigan fans view the season as a success, even if they get eliminated in their very first game of the tournament. I ask because it's interesting. First-year coach, you typically give people grace, but first-year coach changes in the era of transfer portal at a place like Michigan where you've had so much success. So that's there for you guys. We're going to talk a little bit of football in the 9 o'clock hour. Aaron Rodgers, if he comes to the North, any concern? It's 97.1.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at Omicid.com. That's Almased.com.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.